Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Should junk foods be banned from sponsoring sports events? There are calls in the UK to stop junk food companies sponsoring sports teams. They claim it'll help stop the number of people dying from heart attacks and strokes. So is this something that we should be looking at here? We'd love to hear from you. You can also email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Donal O'Shea is the HSE lead for obesity and he is on the line. Donal, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Claire. I'm well, thank you.
Would you support this proposal?
This is something that we have been asking for the Irish, if you like, system to look at for the last 15 years. I mean, sponsorship of sports teams, even at an underage level, is happening with, you know, so-called junk food or high-fat, high-salt, high-sugar food companies. And that kind of sponsorship is brand management. Brand management is the same as advertising. And you have to call it out when the pattern of disease that we're seeing in hospitals is being driven by our pattern of food consumption.
And is that not by the very presence of there being processed foods and ultra-processed foods rather than the sponsorship? Is that a messaging problem or is that adding to the problem?
You know, the confectionery companies put names on chocolate bars and names on bottles of sugar-sweetened drinks. And at the same time, they claim they don't promote, advertise in any way, shape or form to under 12s. But they're using the top 10 baby names from the last 5 years for those campaigns. And they're their most successful campaigns ever. So they're incredibly good, the food and drinks industry, at brand management, advertising. And that sells 95% of the budget for advertising goes onto the ultra-processed foods and drinks because they're the ones that if they can get individuals to consume them in a regular pattern, become irresistible and you want more. And you know, we have to call it out because of the health burden it's causing people in later life. I mean, you can go through your teens and 20s and it won't take its toll. But it's then as you hit the next few decades when waste tends to accumulate more rapidly, when blood pressure tends to go up. And what's happening is we're seeing people with diabetes much earlier than we used to, with high blood pressure much earlier than we used to, and with cancers that are on the rise, being driven by a pattern of food and drink consumption that this kind of sponsorship encourages.
And Donal, I think it's worth pointing out that you and your work have a very compassionate view of people with obesity wanted to be looked at as a disease. There isn't a finger wagging or blame involved in this. But I suppose we need to have a holistic look at everything that is going on a societal level when it comes to our health. But with your level of experience and expertise, do you ask for zero tolerance on all junk food, or do you believe in the 80-20 rule that's often talked about? Is it a big deal if you go to watch a match on the weekend and pick up fast food on the way home or a chocolate bar? Is moderation still okay?
Yeah, moderation is absolutely fine. And if the food and drinks industry would promote a pattern of consumption that was consistent with moderation, then that would be fine. But actually, you know, they're designing products for the three-year-old palate, wrapping those products in packaging that appeals to the three-year-old's brain, and then putting it at the three-year-old's eye level in the shops because the eye level is the buy level. Ronald McDonald's House is going to be the first thing you see when you arrive at the new children's hospital and the last thing you see as you leave the new children's hospital. And that's brand management. It's advertising, and it's how they work, and it shouldn't be tolerated.
Stay there, Donal. I want to bring in some more of our guests, and I'd like to get people's thoughts on this. You can text 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. You can WhatsApp us for free, 087 1400 106. And I'd like to get your thoughts on the money being sponsored in by these companies and what that can mean and whether that clouds your judgment. I mean, if we look at Galway GAA and Supermax, they have a very successful partnership together, and I'm sure it's meant a huge amount for the club. Likewise, Ronald McDonald House, that Donal O'Shea pointed out there now, is an excellent resource for the parents that are there. But should it be a junk food company? There's no doubt that these organisations and these sporting organisations need investment, but should we be saying an absolute no to there being an association with a junk food? Trevor Twamley is CEO and co-founder of Sport Endorse. Trevor, you're very welcome.
Hi, Claire.
What are your thoughts on this? You're very welcome.
Yeah. Donal's father was a great footballer, isn't it right, Donal?
That is correct. So he told me anyway.
Yeah, we've a sports sponsorship business here on Fitzwilliam Street Upper. Look, we do have a problem with obesity in Ireland. There's no doubt about it. But I think banning it is probably the wrong way to go about it. I think it starts at home as a father, as a parent of three girls. When they go to the press, if the stuff is there, they're going to eat it. So it's kind of, it's bringing it into the house. I think it starts there. Supermax sponsoring Galway, that feeds back among the community. It creates employment. It creates more people playing the sport. So that's, I mean, Micheál Martin coming out recently saying they're putting 400 million into grassroots sports and Irish sport in Ireland. That's the kind of thing we should be doing, getting more activity, getting more people out playing sport and disciplines. That's the route I would go, because I think when you start banning, you take money away from the sports, the disciplines, and it does trickle down to, I mean, it was on the news earlier about Dundalk and what happens up there with wages earlier on. So I think it does feed the grassroots, it does feed participation, and I'm not so sure about banning it. I don't think that's the way to go. Sugar tax, maybe. I mean, even if you talk about cigarette smoking, 18% of our population are still smoking, and it hasn't declined since 2019. They've banned smoking advertising years ago. So I'm not so sure, Donal. I would be careful not to have a zero tolerance on it. I would agree with you. Moderation is key. And the messaging around that moderation, I think I would agree with you there as well.
But Trevor, we can't deny the health implication that the food people are getting access to is having on their health, and in turn, what that costs, not only them personally, but the health system. And you mentioned cigarettes there, but we've had a real change over the last couple of decades in attitudes to smoking, including the smoking ban, including packaging, and it does send out a message. So should we not bring that messaging in? No one is saying that junk food is to be gone forever, but is it a bad partnership to have sporting events associated with something that can have such a bad impact on your health?
Well, a lot of the brands actually, Claire, do a lot of, they go on the kind of subtle advertising. They don't want to be pushing that messaging down. You know, they go subtly with their messaging. So I think that's kind of par for the course now. But for smoking, they go vaping. Do you know what I mean? And actually, what you're going to do is you'll cancel the brand sponsorship for the sporting event. They'll just go to music. They'll find the route to market anyway and to their thing. So I think it starts at home. You manage it at home, and then hopefully get your kids active, get them as active as possible, and then hopefully they don't go down that road, you know?
Donal,
yes, I agree, 23% of our children, and actually don't even probably of all the percentages now, but is it 23% of everyone is obese in the country at the moment?
23% of adults and one in four children have either overweight or obesity. The levels are levelling off, thankfully, in children and in adults, and we're well behind the states in terms of their prevalences again, thankfully, but we still have levels that are way too high. And I'd love to see, if you ask, Supermax, would they? I'm all for them sponsoring Galway GAA, but just don't have the logo on the jersey, because that's subliminal, you know, promotion and advertising to mm-hmm. incredibly impressionable young people. But mm-hmm. they won't want to do it without their logo.
And Donal, I appreciate what Trevor was saying, you know, that there has to be messaging at home. And yes, that is important. But do we need to widen the lens a little bit on this? I mean, I certainly feel it as a parent. Yes, the messaging is there at home. But then you're up against it when they step outside. I mean, you mentioned the way shops are set up now. And it's really stunned me over the last few years how much that has changed. When I was a kid, you went in, you picked a 10p bag of sweets that was behind the counter and you pointed behind the glass to what you wanted. Now there are massive share packs that kids are buying for themselves right at their eye level. That's what they get to first. I mean, my kids actually didn't know that you could buy the smaller versions for many years until they were brought around. And that might sound like I let them go rogue, but that's what's being placed at the front. So it has to be looked at on a holistic level, not just how we operate, but how we set up our society, how much power the food industry has, because it all feeds in, as well as this sponsorship suggestion.
Yeah, and parents will be there for, they can't be there 100% of the time. And the problem is that the products that are displayed at the child's eye level, they are designed specifically for that age group. You know, the 3 to 5 year old has a different bliss point for their palate compared to an 8 year old palate. And the products are specifically designed and packaged for the age group. And they are incredibly addictive. You know, there isn't a stop button when you combine fat, salt and sugar in the right combination for a particular brain. So that's shareable in a Verticamas pack or the Duo. Will be consumed. And if you're 7, it'll be consumed very quickly and won't be declared when you go home to have your dinner.
I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Should we ban junk food sponsoring sports teams? And should we start looking at junk food in the same way as we look at cigarettes, with health warnings on every packet? You can text us 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or you can WhatsApp us on 087 1400 106. Robbie is on the line in Louth. Robbie, you're very welcome.
Hi, how are you? How are things?
I'm good. You work in sports development. So what do you think of calls like this?
It's look, I can totally see where Donal Shea is coming from in relation to the obesity situation and the messaging that we're sending kids. Absolutely, yeah, I can see where he's coming from. But coming from the side of trying to set up a local club, to run teams, to find insurance, look after your grounds, sports clubs, you know, they don't receive an awful lot of funding. They receive a percentage, and it has got way better in the last sort of 4 to 5 years, particularly after COVID. I think our governments and our society realise how important sport is and sports and activities is. But I think if you're going to bring a ban in, you also have to bring in measures to support clubs and support the different sporting organisations to continue the great work they do, because being active and being, physically active is also another important part of health and well-being, as well as obviously the stuff that you're eating and stuff like that. So it's trying to find that balance. I also think that some of these junk food companies, and it goes back to what Donal said there about would Supermax put the sponsorship in if their logo wasn't on the jersey, but there should be a level of social corporate responsibility in society for these companies, that they actually do sponsorship where they don't get anything for it. They put money in to support health and well-being and show that they have a social conscience.
Yeah, I thought that was a good suggestion, because particularly when it comes to sporting institutions, there should be a duty of care there, that yes, it's really nice to sponsor. Yes, it's nice to give back to the community around you. Yes, they provide employment. And yes, there's a place for them in moderation. But to get that advertising and have that subliminally being passed out at every match, I think we do need to look at that, Robbie.
Yeah, definitely. And as Donal said, we've got Aldi and Lidl and a lot of these big supermarket chains now are involved in sponsorship. Like, this ban, would that affect them? Because while they're a supermarket and selling lots of products, they're selling a lot of the products that we're talking about. They're also providing, you know, that opportunity at eye level stuff, you know. So I think there's a lot to look at here to try and improve and make better. But it ultimately comes down to that social responsibility and that corporate responsibility and, you know, making sure that, you know, if we just cut off, you know, the sponsorship, you know, there could be sports clubs around the country. And as the caller rightly said, there's Dundalk struggling, you know, that's a professional club that are struggling, obviously, financially. You know, sport is massive and it needs to be even bigger in this country. I think you look at the Olympics we just recently have, our Paralympics that we've currently got running at the moment. You know, if we put the investment into our sporting infrastructure in this country, we can punch way above our weight at a global level. But there seems to be a reluctance to do that. But then, to be fair to a lot of these companies, they see the potential and they're pumping the money in. Now, they are, as Donald said, they're getting something for their money because they're getting their product recognised. It's finding that balance. Before you go make a ban, what supports are you going to put in place to make sure that you don't, you know, disturb the whole sporting ecosystem?
And Donald, can I put that to you then? Do we need to start looking at junk food in the same way as we do to cigarette sales, for example? I mean, Robbie brought up supermarkets there, and it's all well and good to say these organisations need to have corporate social responsibility, but I think it's going to be led and enforced because at the end of the day, they want to make money. The way we buy and sell cigarettes now, it's completely away from view. Is that where we need junk food to be?
We certainly need to have the discussion about it. Smoking is different because you absolutely don't have to smoke any cigarette ever in your entire life, but you will be consuming processed and ultra-processed foods to some degree as part of your overall intake. So you can't have that absolute comparison, but when it reaches a point where you have the you know, the motorway stops and the supermarkets lined with, so you walk through literally tunnels of ultra-processed products targeting the younger kind of consumer who isn't able to demonstrate restraint and whose parent isn't there to do it all the time, then you do have to look seriously at where those products are placed, how they are packaged. And you have to say, well, look, is this the way we want it to continue? And my default, you know, a ban, the history of bans is they don't work. An outright ban, literally on anything, tends to backfire at some point in time. So having a more balanced discussion, but calling out the way that the pattern and as you said, the direction things have moved in over the last few years in terms of the promotion of these ultra-processed foods in a targeted way to the younger kids, we had to do something different.
Yeah, and I'd certainly have the conversation, as you say. I want to bring Kalina in. Kalina, you're on Lunchtime Live here on News Talk. Do you think this is a good idea?
I do, but I can see very quickly that we have a kind of a catch-22 situation here because a lot of sports, and we know they have been very underfunded in this country, sadly. I mean, that seems to be improving now with our success at the last, very recent Olympics. What I think would be a good idea for all sporting associations, and indeed Angus Trevor, who is involved in what brand marketing and sponsorship, is to look for others. Maybe this has been done already, but why not approach a lot of other sponsors, because the sports needs the sponsorship. And I totally agree with everything that's been said about the danger of fast foods. I mean, you only have to look in the supermarkets now. What might have been a little small section devoted to soft drinks and crisps and snacks, they're now almost entire aisles devoted. So obviously they are selling a lot and it is very dangerous. And obviously, as has been mentioned, education, parents, schools, etc., they need to be very much involved in telling children what the outcome is likely to be if they continue to consume these kind of foods. An interesting statistic, actually, statistics and lies, etc., etc. But apparently in Uruguay, in South America, they have gone so far as to ban salt in not cooking in restaurants, but on the table. They don't have salt anymore because they have recognized the major dangers of salt and sugar, which is in all processed foods.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My message would be definitely it needs to be looked at, but I think the focus also needs to be on getting alternative sponsorship.
Thanks very much for coming on, Kalina. Statistics and all, I loved it. And I do think people are aware. We're constantly talking about ultra-processed food, junk food, obesity. It is part of the parlance now. But I don't think people are fully aware of the amount of salt and sugar and, you know, even what Donal was alluding to there. I mean, on the side of some of the bottles of the soft drinks, they will say how much sugar, but they're only talking about what's in half the bottle. I mean, there's certain little twists going on that I don't think the consumer is fully aware. Lots of texts coming in on this one. John says, more nanny state again. What about freedom of choice? Totally unfair, says another, to wrap Ronald McDonald House in this debate. Children are much more comfortable with that name than they would be with Aviva House or AIB House. I know you haven't criticised the service and I agree with the point for sports teams, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If the name Ronald McDonald House makes families smile in difficult times, it's not in the same ballpark. And I do take your point to a degree, and I knew it was going to be a sensitive one because amazing work happens within those walls. However, kids are going to feel apprehensive at any stage. They're obviously going through a hospital experience. But once they go through the doors of AIB House, Aviva House, AN Other House and see what's inside, you know, after a while that breaks down. I mean, there is a huge connection between kids and that fast food restaurant. And that's what we're talking about. Should we be looking at that a little bit more? Mary says, absolutely, there needs to be more of an effort at governance level. It is unfair on parents when they go to local supermarket and have to bring children into the store. And as Donal says, the junk food is at eye level, which is by level. Can't understand why this is allowed when we have such an issue with obesity. There should be more effort offering fruit at reduced costs or promoting smoothies, machines or juicers, etc. And I agree with you, Mary Claire. And, you know, I mean, not to make it about me because I'm just one individual experience, but I used to be a social smoker. And the more expensive the cigarettes got, the more horrendous pictures went on the outside. I stopped smoking. So I do think the messaging is extremely important and can influence buyer behaviour. John is on the line. John, you're welcome to Lunchtime Live here on News Talk. We'll go to Una. Una, you're on Lunchtime Live. You're very
Hi,
welcome.
Claire, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much. And you?
Very well, thanks, Claire.
Tell us your thoughts on this one.
Now, I do think there's an awful lot of greasy, unhealthy food absolutely everywhere, even for little kids going to kids' birthday parties. The menu is either greasy pizzas, fatty foods. You'd never hear of sandwiches or something healthy fruit. Or anything like that. You know, it's always something that's not healthy. So that's a bad start. And I also feel that the government should educate schools, educate children in school to let them know the difference between healthy food and unhealthy food. A lot of kids, they're getting their chicken nuggets and fries or whatever, perhaps maybe 4 or 5 days a week. It's not good. They don't know any better. So if they're educated in schools and know what exactly is gone into their foods, well, they'll go home and tell their parents, no, Mum, I don't want to eat that or that. I don't want to eat that today. I had that yesterday. It's unhealthy. Can we have the healthy option? And also, you know, somebody mentioned there about going to matches, whatever, and getting a greasy burger or whatever afterwards. But I mean, sometimes that's all that is available. And if people are hungry, they're going to go for that. And I feel the government should sponsor or subsidise for maybe more carby meals, hot meals to be out there, healthy meals, maybe pasta meals as well. put the availability out there. The availability, it's not there. That's all that's actually here in Ireland. There's an awful lot of greasy food and sugary foods. It's either one or the other. So it is difficult for people to choose to eat healthy if they leave their homes in some cases.
Una, thank you very much for coming on. What do you think about what Una has to say? I have struggled at times myself when everything on the kids' menu is as Una describes, but I've kind of caught myself sometimes because I thought, look, haven't we had home cooked meals all this week? Hasn't there been, you know, a focus on the five a day for, you know, the 6 days of the week? And here we are out for dinner. Isn't it okay to choose something like that? But should there be more choice available for people? And what message does it send out when there isn't? Keep your texts coming into us. You can also email lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.